Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
And we're back.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. Ready to start this episode. Happy to be here.
Likewise. Guys, before we get the show started, we have a couple things to tell you. Mm-hmm. The first is that we've been telling you over the past several weeks that we are allowing you to send us questions via voicemail, and we're going to answer them on this podcast. And the questions have been rolling in. We've got a ton of great questions.
We're starting to record that after this episode, right?
Exactly.
After next episode, we're answering your questions.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, we want to make this podcast more of a conversation between you and I. And so if you have a question about lifestyle, nutrition, personal development, relationships, et cetera, then you can go to workingagainstgravity.com/podcast, scroll down to the start recording button, and you can leave us a well-articulated, concise message with your name and where you're from. And if it's an awesome one, then we're going to answer it on here.
Yeah. And please be in a quiet space just so that it helps us put it on the show.
The other thing is we want to tell you what WAG is and what WAG does, because we have realized that a lot of times we just roll right into the show, and some people listen to the show every week without knowing exactly what do we do.
Yeah.
So what do we do?
So we are an online nutrition coaching company. WAG stands for Working Against Gravity. And we help you find a diet that actually fits your lifestyle, something that you can stick to, helps you enjoy your life while also continuing to achieve your goals. Nutrition and fitness is something really difficult. And so we pair you with a real person that can keep you accountable and talk you through how to make it work for you while not just like letting it take over your entire life. So that's what we do. It's pretty relevant to today's episode because we're going to be talking about some strategies on how to deal with difficult scenarios. And if you signed up for Working Against Gravity, you'd have a coach that would talk to you specifically about what's going on in your life. So if you're interested in changing your nutrition, achieving nutrition goals, maybe you've had a hard time before, you tried a bunch of different diets, but you know, you love a challenge and you love pushing your limits, we are a great option for you.
So I like that.
Workingagainstgravity.com.
And if you're someone that's had your life changed in relation to nutrition already and you want to pay it forward, you want to help others with their nutrition, we also train nutrition coaches. So if you want to either have a side hustle or have an entirely new career in mm-hmm. online nutrition coaching, then you can also get trained by us and coach people on your own.
Yeah.
And you can go to our website to find out more about that as well. Cool. I think that's all we had. Let's get into this episode. So We're talking about challenging scenarios.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, I interviewed you on our experience in Europe and how you just crushed your nutrition mm-hmm. traveling. Mm-hmm. Today, I want to talk to you about one of the other things that trips people up most often, which is eating out at restaurants and social events. Mm-hmm. And you are an absolute Jedi when it comes to eating out. Just any challenging scenario, I've just seen you operate at such a high level and just maintain like firm boundaries, but also allowing yourself to enjoy these moments, right? Because most often people are either, they go completely off the deep end and they break their commitments to themselves, or they're so firm in their commitment and their boundaries that they are caught up in their head, they're not present, and they don't enjoy
eating out with people. Yeah, they look back and they think maybe it wasn't even worth it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You've managed to do both. And so I want to just extract all of that goodness out of you today.
Okay, let's do it.
And before we get, I want to like highlight just how good you are at this.
Okay.
Guys, I have this story. It was 2014 or 15. We had met pretty recently. I think this was maybe your second trip to Louisiana with me, and it was Mardi Gras.
Yes.
And you were trying to make weight for like a national meet mm-hmm. in Canada. Mm-hmm. And you were like really close to your weight. You couldn't gain any. And if you don't know what Mardi Gras is like a week long party, like the one of the biggest parties on the planet in New Orleans. Like, yeah, parades constantly for a week straight. Uh-huh. People are drinking. They're eating just absolute crap that tastes amazing. Mm-hmm. And we're with my family and we're all like celebrating. And I like we went over there and I was really worried about how it was going to affect you. I thought either you're not going to have a good time at all and you're going to be just so rigid, or you're going to mess up and you're going to gain a bunch of weight and feel terrible and I'm going to feel guilty and we're going to break up and I'm going to be back on Tinder.
Back on Tinder.
Jeez. I didn't have much luck on Tinder, guys. But you did exactly what I was saying, which is you maintained your boundaries the entire time.
I had a beignet when
you
wanted one.
You had a beignet, one beignet, which is like a French donut, guys. It's one of the best things on the planet. One per day, every day, and you made it fit your macros. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the mindset and the strategies that we're going to talk about today that allowed you to really enjoy that experience while also making weight for the meet a week later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thanks.
Yeah. So let's get into that.
There's also in-betweens too. I think it's important. Like at that time, I had a very specific goal. I needed to weigh a very specific amount. So I was definitely more rigid than I would be now mm-hmm. when I'm traveling, just because I'm less concerned about what the number is actually on the scale. This whole process is a sliding scale all the way from being completely free and indulging more than you normally would, all the way to being really dialed in and having less flexibility, and you can enjoy yourself in any version of that.
And you enjoyed yourself.
I did. I had the best time. It was so much fun.
So how do you, before we get into like tactical strategies and tools, let's talk about mindset a little bit. Mm-hmm. How do you think about eating out, and what are some of the biggest flaws in people's mindsets around eating out at restaurants or social events?
Yeah. One of the biggest mistakes I see people make is that at the beginning of doing this, so I haven't always been a Jedi at eating out at restaurants or traveling. I've made thousands of mistakes. I've gained dozens of pounds up and down, up and down. I've struggled for sure.
Shit, I wish I could lose a dozen pounds by eating out.
But I mean, like coming back and having to like do damage. Like there's been many instances of just struggling through it. And at the beginning, when you're first starting to try and figure out how to make this work for you and how to enjoy yourself and keep your nutrition dialed in at the same time, it's taking up a lot of mental energy. You're thinking about it a lot. You have to plan more than you want to. You have to try things that might not work, and that could be frustrating. So you could look and be like, oh, I tried super hard and I didn't get the result I wanted. But you have to try those things to figure out which strategy is going to work for you and which one's not going to work for you. A big mistake that I see people make is that effort at the beginning deters them from continuing to try. They think that because it's a lot of work at the beginning means that it's going to be work forever. Mm-hmm. And it's so far from the truth. It's like any skill that you want to develop in your life, it's going to take more work and more mental energy at the beginning, and it's going to be a lot easier later on. I think my favorite analogy is you're going to university, and when you go to university, you spend a ton of time going to class, studying for your exams, and you do more than you're going to need after university. And so you get this degree.
What do you mean by that? You do more than you'll need.
So you're like working and you're spending all this time studying and learning and absorbing all this information and trying these new different strategies and keeping the information in your brain so you could do really well on the exam. And then when you graduate from university and you go to your job, you keep what worked for you and what's going to continue working for you in your regular life, and you actually forget everything else. You don't need any of the other stuff, but going through the process of studying was essential for you to pass the exam and get the degree and then move on. So it's kind of the same thing. Like this is like your study period. Mm-hmm. You're studying, you're reading the textbooks, you're taking the lessons, you're going to class, which is a lot of extra work to eventually get the degree, graduate, and keep what worked for you and leave what didn't work mm-hmm. for you. It's kind of the same thing. People get deterred right at the beginning. I think that's a really big mistake. Mm-hmm.
What I'm hearing is it takes more effort to build the skills than it does to maintain them and use them.
Yes.
Right? And so in the beginning, it's just a lot harder. And mm-hmm. people should know that and expect that going into it. Yeah. But they should also know that it's possible to reach a state of nutritional enlightenment like you have.
Oh, gosh.
That was so cheesy. Yeah.
Maybe a more relatable analogy might even be like learning how to do Olympic weightlifting. Like when you first start to learn how to snatch, it's just more glamorous than needing to dial things in eating out at a restaurant. Like I'm going to lift these big weights, right? When you first start to snatch, you miss lifts all over the place. You have to really think about the technique. It's like takes a lot of mental energy to learn how to do something like the snatch. And then eventually – I've been weightlifting for a really long time. I don't have to go to the gym and think that hard about doing a snatch, even if I've taken like 6 months off of weightlifting. It still comes back to me so much quicker.
It's a great analogy. I haven't heard you use it. You should remember that.
Okay.
That's a great one.
Weightlifting.
So I know from observing you and learning from you that a lot of what makes you successful eating out or eating out, like eating at social events, is in your preparation beforehand. What are you doing before you actually get to the place that really sets you up for success?
For a restaurant?
For both.
For both restaurant or social event? Mm-hmm. So if I can collect, so we're doing going into tactical now. Mm-hmm. So if I could get as much information about where we're going as possible, I'm going to do that. It doesn't have to be this like grand event that everybody knows that I'm preparing ahead of time. I might just like look up Yelp on my phone and look through the pictures of the meals and think about, you know, just start thinking about what are my options going into dinner. And then I allow that to change what I'm going to eat beforehand. So maybe if I'm going to a restaurant and I know we're going to get pizza, and you go to a pizza place, it's like very little to eat other than pizza at a pizza place. So I look up the pizza ahead of time. I see, is it deep dish? Is it a big piece of pizza? Like, what is it going to be like? And then I'll adjust the rest of my day according to plan. So I know that it's going to be super fat heavy. It's going to be super carb heavy. The rest of my meals will be more protein and more vegetables or things that are lower carb. So I'm definitely trying to think about what it is I'm going to eat when I go to the restaurant ahead of time. Look at the menu, at least get an idea. I have made the mistake many times before going to a restaurant hungry. Mm-hmm. And that's another tip as well. We can talk about it in a second. But going to a restaurant hungry, like super excited to eat with my friends, I'm going to indulge. And there's this mistake that people make, and you feel like you have to deprive yourself in order to indulge. It's like I have to save up calories to be able to indulge in extra calories. And sometimes for most people, that's a mistake because you're so hungry, you eat with your eyes, and you have the physical sensation of hunger. You think you need to eat more to feel full than you actually need to just enjoy the food. Things that are really dense in calories, if you're really present with them, you can just eat a little bit and be satisfied, or eat enough to be full and be satisfied and not have to like completely overindulge. So I'm trying to make as many decisions ahead of time so that I don't get to the restaurant hungry, and then I'm looking at the menu and I'm like, oh my God, there's too many options. I don't know what to eat. Like, what are people going to think of what I'm going to eat? Versus if I've made the decision ahead of time, there's so little decision-making happening on the fly.
It could be none. And then you don't have to use any willpower. Mm-hmm. It's already made for you.
Absolutely. So that's like most of the preparation of what I'm doing ahead of time for eating at restaurants or at social events. At social events where I can't know what I'm going to eat ahead of time, I generally go not hungry because I just accept that I'm going to be there for the experience. And what I'm going to eat, I plan to like not be hanging out around the food, which makes it really difficult when you're just like around the food all the time, and try and stick to lower calorie, higher volume options, meaning like vegetables or things that are just going to take up more space in your stomach. But sometimes you just don't know what you're going to get there. So when you go a little bit full already, you at least have the space to debate the options in the moment. When you're hungry, you're like, I just need to eat. Like, I don't care. Like, easy to do that.
Just to clarify, do you mean you go a little full, or you just make sure you're not like you don't feel like you're starving when you go?
Either or, whatever works for you. If you feel like you might eat a lot, or you're going to eat a lot when you're there, then just go not hungry. Mm-hmm. Versus a little bit full. If you can go and you know that there's going to be very little options for you there, go a little bit full and then just have a couple bites of some stuff. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So what do you do when you actually get to a restaurant or get to a party?
Yeah. When I get to a restaurant, I stick to the decisions that I've made ahead of time, which is a feat within itself. At a restaurant, I'll make sure that things that are tempting are just not in front of me. So for me, a bread basket could kill me. Like, mm-hmm. I just love a good bread basket. So if other people are eating it at the table, I'll just move the bread basket closer to them. If it's like within reaching distance of me, it's going to be taunting me the whole time. Like, it's the smell, the way it looks. Like, I can just start fantasizing about the way it would taste. And then eventually I'll just grab a piece and I'll be like, oh, I'll just have one piece, or I'll just have half a piece.
What you do is break mm-hmm. a little bit off, but you mm-hmm. do that like 20 times.
Yeah, exactly. Until I finish the whole piece. So it just... Yeah, you've seen me do that many times. So if everyone at the table is cool with it, then I'll just get them to take the bread off the table. So it's just not in my mind at all. It's just not an option anymore. Things like that. Dips, chips, popcorn sometimes comes at the table.
Yeah, a lot of times before they even set it down on the table, we just ask them politely to take it away because we don't want to eat it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's one thing I'll definitely do at a restaurant. I also will choose alcohol or dessert, and I won't have both. So if I'm going to have a glass of wine, then I know that there's calories in wine, and that's like an addition to the meal. So sometimes I get myself into a pickle when I have alcohol as well as desserts. Mm-hmm. Just adding a lot of calories to the meal. It's just a way for me to like limit how many calories I'm having in the meal, and already makes a decision for me. Mm-hmm. So if I want to have dessert, it's okay. I can have dessert without feeling guilty about it. I'm not also going to have alcohol at the same time. And then at social events, what I would do is stay away from the food tables. So just, there's research on if I'm sitting in a space and I'm looking at the food, I'm going to be eating and thinking about what I'm going to eat next. Or I'm going to be constantly tempted by what's like out of sight really does mean out of mind. So I just don't stay near the food tables, and I go somewhere that it's just out of my sight. And then I do a little bit of tricks with alcohol, because I think alcohol gets people in social events. One, because it really helps you deal with the like social anxiety of being at an event. Having a couple drinks like definitely loosens me up. It makes me more talkative. It makes me friendlier. And it's sometimes like what I want to do. And I also know that it adds a lot of calories, and then also helps me make poor decisions later on where I'm a little bit – my inhibitions are lowered. I'm just like – in the moment, I don't care as much because I'm a little bit buzzed or whatever it is. And so – I will just immediately get some type of like calorie-free drink and put it in my hand. Especially going to visit your family in Louisiana, the culture is like there's drinks every night. It's just like I know I'm going to get offered a drink. I know that's going to happen to me probably multiple times, because they're going to realize like I don't have a drink, and then they're going to
– like, what's wrong?
They're going to forget that they already asked me if I wanted one, and then they'll ask me again.
They're like, you sure? Are you positive?
Yeah, and It's mostly a politeness thing. Like they're so polite, and it's also part of the culture to drink. So it's just like a mixture. So I just have a drink in my hand, and nobody knows if it's alcoholic or not. And you know, like they're not going to be like, "Is there alcohol in that drink?" And if someone is, you can just say yes.
Well, a lot of times too, you'll have like a glass of wine, and it will last you the entire night. Mm-hmm.
Or I won't finish it.
Right.
I'll just like have sips.
Right.
So that I can – that's temptation as well. Just the same as getting the bread basket off the table, the temptation is somebody asking you to have a drink. Mm-hmm. So just having a drink in your hand and just sipping on it, and it's okay if you don't finish the whole drink. That's something I'll do a lot too.
So at restaurants, what do you do if you have not planned what you're going to eat beforehand?
I'm just looking out for – it really depends. It depends too, like what stage I'm at. Mm-hmm. If I'm trying to lose weight, then I'm going to be a little bit more conscientious of the choices that I'm going to make. If I'm like I am right now, where I'm definitely more flexible, the number on the scale doesn't matter to me as much, and I want to enjoy myself, then I might be a little bit more flexible with myself. And if I'm being more – I really want to lose weight, and I'm being more – dialed in with my nutrition, I'm going to look out for some specific words on the menu, like fried, breaded, sauces, caramelized, oil, butter, like that type of thing. I'm looking for anything that's probably going to indicate that it's just denser, and which means it's going to be lower volume, like it's not going to be as much physical food, and it's going to also be higher calorie. So it's probably not going to fill me up. And it's also going to add a lot of calories to the meal. So I'm looking out for those kinds of words. And then I'm seeing if there's options to substitute. So can I have a salad on the side instead? Can I substitute my French fries for steamed vegetables? Can I have the sauce on the side? Not that I don't want to have the sauce, but often sauces can be full of sugar or they can have lots of oils or butters and things like that. I just want to have a little bit to taste. It doesn't have to be like absolutely drowning in whatever sauce that it is. Just little opportunities for me to have more control over my own portion sizes. Mm-hmm. Another thing I've done before is just had half my meal and put half to go so that I can either, if I'm being really tracking my stuff, then I can track the other half when I get home and I can double it and that like, or I can
determine exactly,
I can determine how much I ate. That's if I'm like making weight for a meet or I'm like really trying to achieve my goals. Mm-hmm. I'm like being a lot more rigid with things.
Is there anything else people should consider if they're tracking their macros at restaurants?
Yeah.
Like if they want to be very precise with their nutrition?
Yeah. If you want to be very precise with your nutrition, I would generally just stick to something that you normally eat. Mm-hmm. I think it's more stressful than it is helpful to go to, you know, like a Michelin star restaurant or something that's like really crazy in terms of textures and tastes, like foodie type restaurants, and try to be super, super precise. There's ways to like estimate a little bit, but I think sometimes that can be more stressful.
Yeah, like probably any tapas or small plates restaurant, it's going to take what's already sort of complicated and multiply it by two or three or four.
Yeah.
Because you're getting so many more
things.
I think
more often than not, that just gets extra frustrating. So in those scenarios, if you're being really, really dialed in with your macros, the rest of the week, you know, you're totally on top of it. That night, just try and practice more free eating skills and talk to somebody about what boundaries you want to have with that. Like maybe I'm going to really focus on my appetite or my fullness, and then don't weigh yourself the next day because it's just not worth the frustration. There's like other strategies you can use around that. But I would generally, if you want to go to a restaurant because you want to be social and you want to have a good time, then I would go to a place and have something similar to what you would eat at home. You know, steak and potatoes is pretty simple. Steak and broccoli, chicken breast and side salad. You can have chicken Caesar salad is an easy thing to track. Mexican food is pretty easy too, just because you have restaurants like Chipotle or Qdoba that are going to have like their calculators online. Mm-hmm. So you can just use those.
I think we have a bunch of articles on our website as well that tell you kind of the most macro-friendly meals at a lot of famous restaurants or just like common food types.
Yeah. So we have how to track at an Italian restaurant, how to track at a Mexican restaurant, and how to track sushi. So you can go to our website and those will be there under guides.
When would you give someone the advice to either like bring their own food to a restaurant or just not go to a restaurant at all?
I don't know. Bringing your food to a restaurant is sometimes tricky. If you feel like you want to do that and you just want to like be a part of the experience, I think the only times it would be like if you're really needing to make weight for a meet, like you have to weigh a certain amount and the meet is like 2 or 3 weeks away. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're within a month of a weightlifting meet or a wrestling match or something where you have to weigh a certain amount and you don't want to sauna and kill yourself and sweat before you get there, then I would definitely suggest just either going and not eating and having a calorie-free drink instead and just experiencing, or bringing your food or not going at all. Those are the times where it's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the social sacrifice because it's not forever. Mm-hmm. Like you're not going to have to do that forever. It's a very short period of time. Somebody like a games athlete who's like a couple weeks out of the CrossFit Games or something like that. Like somebody, or maybe you have a photo shoot or something with a hard deadline. Like on this day, I'm going to need to perform this way, look this way, feel this good, or weigh this much. Mm-hmm. Where it's like very finite, I would definitely encourage people to avoid scenarios that are more outside of their control. That's when the amount of flexibility you can have in your diet definitely goes down and the amount of precision that is required in your diet goes up. So you have to weigh out how that's going to work for you. I mean, if I had a photo shoot that I wanted to look my absolute best at, in the weeks leading up to the photo shoot, I'd probably be as dialed in as I could be. And I know it's not for my whole life. It's just for those couple weeks. And I know that that's okay. And it's just not worth going to a restaurant, making decisions that don't align with like feeling my best on that day. And then I'm going to regret it. Like you're going to end up on the photo shoot day wishing that you didn't have the pizza the night before. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like people preparing for the CrossFit Games. You got to taper the week before the CrossFit Games. You could be like, I want to go run my marathon, but like that just wouldn't be a good idea.
Right.
You know, like you could, but it just seems like it's a small sacrifice.
You're not gonna feel very
good. Yeah, and it just is small sacrifice for a very short period of time.
Right.
Those are probably the only times I would say don't go to the restaurant or bring your own food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another thing that you haven't brought up is like a good goal to have for people is just to try to be better in this scenario than they were the last time. They don't have to be perfect, but they want to just strive for progress and to just a feeling like they're getting better. And I think it's important for everyone to remember what you said in the beginning, that building these skills in the beginning takes a ton of willpower, a ton of forethought, and a lot of energy. And it can be frustrating and it can be a little disheartening at times. But as I've seen with you and so many of our coaches, and I'm definitely on my way, although I have a lot of room to grow, it gets easier and it is possible to stick to the plan, whatever the plan is, while also thoroughly enjoying all of these events that we love so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like going from 0 to 100 in fitness in general. Like, you don't work out at all and then you want to go to the gym 5 days a week. It's a really quick way to just completely burn out and be like, I can't sustain this. Doing these types of really difficult tasks, like paying attention to your food at a restaurant or at a social event, just think about what the way you normally behave in that scenario. So for me, I would go to a social event or restaurant and use that as an excuse to eat the most indulgent, highest calorie thing, because I'm not going to cook that for myself. I'm not going to make myself fried chicken nuggets and french fries. Like, I don't have a deep fryer at my house. So I use that as an excuse. Like,
get one.
I use that as an excuse. Like, this is an opportunity for me to just eat something super indulgent, where if that's how I used to operate. So then I would go and I would have, instead of french fries, I would have a side salad with chicken nuggets. Maybe that's not the best scenario, but it's still better than I was last time. Or if, you know, just whatever it is, if it's slightly better than last time, then that is a win within itself. It doesn't have to be perfect. If you try and be perfect, it's going to feel like even extra work and energy, and it's just so far from where you are that you're going to feel like it's not sustainable and it's not something that you could stick to.
And it's going to suck. Mm-hmm. Okay. So don't do that, guys. Okay. I think that's a wrap. I won't make you reiterate all of the takeaways
there.
Or Sorry, tools, guys. But guys, hopefully this was really enjoyable and educational for you guys. One more thing. Mm-hmm. If you think that a D can learn how to use an air fryer, please let us know on social media. She's given it a shot. She's feeling a little overwhelmed by it, but I think she can do it.
Guys, I need a tutor. It's like a touch screen. I don't understand the symbols.
It's a touch screen.
It just frustrates me. It warms up, but it doesn't actually work. I don't like it. And it's huge.
So if you believe in a D and you think she can do it, then please say, you go, girl, or I think you could do it, a D, on social media somewhere. All right, guys. Later.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.